Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, October 7th. It's not that often that the government admits a program launched with good intentions is not working well in real life. But that happened yesterday, and it may affect your student loan. Listen up if you're a teacher or a nurse or a first responder or a military member or veteran or anyone else with a student loan working in what might be called a public service profession, or if you know someone who does. The New York Times headline on this simply says, "Troubled Student Loan Forgiveness Program Gets an Overhaul." And with us now is New York Times correspondent Stacey Cowley. She's a consumer finance reporter who writes that the Biden administration is taking a chainsaw to the program's rules. Thanks for coming on to explain this to us, Stacey. You have a lot of people with student debt now sitting on the edge of their car seats or wherever they are. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So what is this student loan forgiveness program and what are the jobs it applies to?
So it applies to a pretty giant swath of jobs. It covers anyone who's in nonprofit work or government work. So that's about 25% of the American workforce. And this is a program that Congress created in 2007. And the deal at the time was you work in public service for 10 years, you make 10 years of qualifying payments on your student loans, and in 10 years, we'll forgive what's left. The idea was to lure people into public service, recognizing that they might take a lower paycheck to do it, so this was an incentive. The problem is that this program has been just a complete bureaucratic quagmire ever since. In the first couple of years of people applying for forgiveness, it had a rejection rate of about 98%. So there has just been problems all through this thing.
Here are a couple of examples that they used on 60 Minutes this weekend when Leslie Stahl interviewed several people in the military lawyers who had paid for the required 10 years or 120 monthly payments of student loans, but for various reasons were told they had years to go, and in some cases even owed more than when they started repayments. Here is Major Heather Treagle, who had been making monthly payments for 9 years, when she told that only 12 of those monthly payments were valid.
So I obviously called them and said, I don't understand. I have been in auto payment the entire time, so you guys take my payment when it's due and the amount that is due. And the woman looked through my account and she says, you may have an issue that we know is an issue where the auto debit takes the payment, but one penny short of what is actually due. So it doesn't count.
Oh my God, Stacey, one penny short of what was actually due, so it doesn't count?
That was quite the stunning example, and it's a great example of why this program has been so strewn with so many obstacles. There were a bunch of issues at the outset that could knock people out if they had the wrong kind of loan, if they were in the wrong repayment program. But there were also a bunch of simple bureaucratic errors that happened. Because the government outsources the work of collecting on student loans and guiding people through repayment programs to these hired servicers. It has about 8 of them at the moment. And they are pretty notorious for making mistakes. They've been the subject of scathing government audits for years. Multiple state attorney generals have sued over this. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has filed lawsuits over how bad servicing has been. And this in particular was a really complex program, and servicers often made mistakes. So that borrower was a great example. People who were making their payments, thought they were doing everything correctly, could be knocked out by mistakes as simple as the servicer making a mistake, as the servicer missing a payment, the servicer counting their payments wrong. And that happened a lot.
Here's another one from that 60-minute segment, Leslie Stahl with Army lawyer Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Hirsch.
I got a letter that said I had 0 months accumulated towards public service loan forgiveness.
No.
Zero. And I had been paying for 10 years.
He had the right type of loans, but the wrong type of repayment plan. So he had another decade to go.
All of my kids are going to college, so I am taking out Parent PLUS loans to help pay for their college.
Oh, no.
At the same time that I am making payments on my loans.
Wow, that from 60 Minutes. And Stacy, isn't that the American story these days? People taking out loans as parents for their kids going to college while they're still paying back their own student loans from long ago. But he pointed out something that you write about in your article, the wrong type of repayment problem. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the two main things that knocked people out on this were the wrong type of loan, and we can get to that in a moment, but the wrong repayment plan was also a really major problem. There's about 30 different repayment plans you can use to repay your loans, and there was pretty much only one that qualified for this program. You had to be using what was called an income-driven repayment plan that made your payments based on your income. If you were using any other type, you weren't going to qualify. And the problem is that servicers often didn't tell people that, in some cases because they themselves didn't know. It took quite a number of years for the Education Department to give clear guidance about this, and the servicers themselves were very confused for a long time. But if you called your servicer and said, hey, put me in the payment plan that gives me the lowest monthly payment, they would have put you in a plan that didn't qualify for this and probably didn't tell you about that.
And what's that other problem that you referred to? And I know that's in the article, too, the wrong loan problem.
Yeah, so this was probably the single biggest problem with this program, which is that when Congress created it in 2007, to keep the cost down, they said that only one type of federal loan was going to be eligible. It's called a direct loan, and you get it directly from the Education Department. The problem was that in 2007, most federal loans weren't that type of loan. They were being made through something else called the Federal Family Education Loan Program, known as FEL loans, which are government-subsidized loans actually made by banks. In 2010, the government eliminated that program. It switched to entirely direct lending. But for that first 3 years, most people were getting this other kind of loan, FEL loans, that didn't qualify, and they were never told. Most of them were never told that. So for years, people were making payments on these loans only to find out 5, 6, 7, in some cases 10 years in, that none of those payments counted. And that's really the major change that's happening now, is for years, the government has resisted doing anything about that problem. It said it didn't have the authority to make that change. This time, they have invoked some pandemic powers and decided they now have the authority and they're going to retroactively count those payments. So that's a really major change that's going to benefit hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people.
And they can do that retroactively? The Biden administration can just snap its fingers and say, these loans that you took that were loans that didn't qualify for the loan forgiveness now retroactively qualify?
It's something that advocates have been pushing for years, and it's been a real legal minefield for years. And what they finally did here is they decided to use a 2003 law that gave the Education Department a whole bunch of extraordinary authority in times of national emergency. So the Biden administration looked around and said, well, we have this pandemic going on right now, and decided that that was going to be the grounds they were going to use to finally make this change.
And on the Biden administration suddenly announcing it's going to do a big overhaul of its failed student loan forgiveness program, Maya in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with New York Times consumer finance reporter Stacy Cowley. Hi, Maya.
Hi. So my question was about just how to even get enrolled in the program. I just graduated from law school, and I know about public service loan forgiveness. I'm in a qualifying job and pretty much have been told I've pretty much been told by my financial aid servicer, you know, they can't really help me with that. And I'm like, well, you know, what's the point of the financial aid office if they can't help me with that? To the extent that I ended up reaching out to my undergraduate college financial aid office, and they were super helpful, but I still have no idea how to actually enroll into the program, and I'm about to go into repayment now. So I'm just freaking out.
That's a common reaction.
Can you help Maya and stop her freaking out?
Definitely. And this is a common reaction because it's a very confusing program. The good news in your case is that, first of all, things should, in theory, work a little smoother going forward. A lot of people who were caught in this over the last 10 years, it was because the program was being figured out. Now, the loan servicers are a lot more aware that this exists. The Education Department's built a lot more tools to help people deal with it. So it's starting to be a lot easier. The first step is go to studentaid.gov/PSLF. That's the page, and they updated it rapidly this week, that has a lot of information about the program. But the very short version is that you actually don't have to enroll, which is, again, something that's not terribly obvious to people. the way you do it is you work at a qualifying job, and then you send in what's called a certification form. You technically don't really have to do this until you're ready to apply for forgiveness. You could wait 10 years and then do it. But that's a bad idea. What they recommend people do is send these in about once a year to check in, to say, I'm having my employer certify my job. I want my loan servicer to check my payment count. You send this form in, and they should come back to you with an answer saying, yes, your job qualifies. Here's how many qualifying payments you made, and kind of giving you an update. The certification form is on that website. Also, when you do start having repayment, call your loan servicer, because they should be aware of this more so than your financial aid office. And the loan servicer, when you say to them, I'm looking to do public service loan forgiveness, should be able to make sure that you have the right paperwork, that you are on track with it. But as long as you work a qualifying job and have the right kind of loan, your payments should, in theory, automatically count without you having to enroll.
Wow. Maya, are you taking notes?
Yes. I actually pulled up the website. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, good luck. And Stacy, give that web address one more time so thousands of our listeners can go to it at the same moment and crash it.
Sure. It's studentaid.gov/PSLF.
And you know I'm joking about crashing the website, just that we could be sending a lot of people to it at the same time right now. I assume part of the point is to motivate college students, and you said this, to go into jobs that may not pay as well as others but have value to society. Is there evidence that it has worked to get more people into such jobs and into such fields than there would be today without it?
Not on a large number, in part because this program was quite obscure for a number of years. The first wave of people actually getting loans discharged didn't happen until 2017. And also because it's been pretty notorious since then as a complete mess. But for a number of people, it makes a critical difference. I mean, where you really see this program is available to public school teachers, to public school nurses or public hospital nurses. It's a huge subset of people where it becomes critically valuable. And I have seen people making career decisions because of this. If you're taking out huge loans from medical school or law school, a lot of people do rely on this. I mean, this is their financial salvation. If you're going to take out $150,000 in law school loans and then work as a public defender, this may be the only way you're ever going to escape from that debt.
Ralph in Peekskill, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ralph.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You've got a story of two generations of student debt, I see.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just that I worked for 15, 16 years for a residential facility, Office of Child and Family Services, licensed residential facility. So I made no money. And when my kid, my oldest, went to school, they would not allow him to borrow money. It had to be parents signing for everything. Hmm. It just the way it worked. I'm sure your guests will tell you that there was no way I could get him through the FAFSA without my signature on all the loans. So we did Parent Plus. And there's no consideration for us afterwards. Now, he took out Stafford loans that he's paying back. But we took out the Parent Plus loans, and we're paying them back. And so two more kids after that. Fortunately, the Empire program really helped with that. The New York State program that Cuomo put in was able to get a lot of that paid for a lot cheaper. We learned our lesson. But for that, I'm, $40,000 in debt at 60 years old because of Parent Plus loans.
Yeah.
It's tough. And I made no money for a long time doing exactly what they said I should do. But there's no consideration for that. I had to take those loans because I was making no money.
Did you apply for the student loan forgiveness program? Did you think that your job qualified? Don't qualify because...
They're my loans. My name's on them, but they're for my son.
Parent Plus, that was one of the fixes that many advocates sought.
Oh, right. I meant for yourself after you had in a residential facility.
No, I'm saying my work, my loans, and yet they're my son's loans, but they're mine.
Yeah.
I signed for them.
Right, it's the son's loans at this point. Anything for him, Stacy? Any encouragement or to put this in context for our other listeners?
Yeah, sadly, this is one of the fixes that people were seeking that didn't happen in this update. They specifically left Parent Plus out. The only thing I can suggest there, unfortunately, is like let your representatives know, because this change was made in part because Congress has been hammering on the administration about this. I mean, this is one of those issues that people, you know, barrage their lawmakers with complaints about, and that got them to go barrage, you know, the bureaucrats with complaints. So Parent Plus was left out. If you feel it should be included, definitely go express that, you know, feeling to your representatives.
Good luck, Ralph. Thank you for sharing your story. And I hope you pay off that loan successfully. Listener on Twitter, Jennifer, asks, I already paid off my loans, but worked in qualified nonprofit. Might the retro payment refund?
So the retro payment is a little slippery. I'm honestly a little fuzzy on exactly which payments they are crediting back. They've said they're going to credit back some. It looked like it was largely if you had several years of payments on one of these unqualifying loans, like the FFELP loans, that are now going to be qualified, it looks like there's some ability to get refunds on those. Otherwise, it looks like it's largely going to be you're out of luck. So the best thing we can suggest to people is, like, about your specific case, if you have questions, go to that studentaid.gov website. There's also a place there where you can file a complaint or a question. If you have a particularly tricky case, I highly recommend go to the studentaid.gov ombuds office, the ombudsman for the agency, and file a complaint, like file a question. And that at least gets an actual human to look into your individual situation.
If you have to make 10 years of student loan payments before you qualify, how much debt is being forgiven, even theoretically, for most people?
It can be some pretty huge numbers. I mean, you can have six figures worth of debt forgiven if that's what you've got. And one of the interesting quirks here, which also gives people heart attacks, is that if you have a really large debt, it's entirely possible that your monthly payments, the income-based payments you make, aren't even enough to cover your interest. So I've heard plenty of cases where somebody started with $100,000 in debt, makes their payments for 10 years, and ends up with $200,000 in debt. I mean, interest really whacks people.
And how does this play into the larger progressive policy agenda, if at all, of a broad student debt forgiveness or free public college?
There's certainly a lot of reaction from borrowers' advocates saying, this is great, now go further. There's been no, you know, quieting of that progressive push for some sort of broad student debt cancellation. And the Biden administration has honestly been pretty resistant to that. He's been very open about if Congress did it, he would welcome that. But he doesn't really seem to want to try to push his executive authority to do it that way.
And there, I guess, we leave it. Give that web address one more time. You gave it at the beginning of the segment. So for people who weren't listening then, if folks, you're just tuning in and just getting your heads around this news from yesterday that the Biden administration is trying to fix the student loan forgiveness program for people who've worked in nonprofits for 10 years. There's a web address that people can go for more information or to apply or try to fix their circumstances.
Yep, that's studentaid.gov/PSLF, which stands for Public Service Loan Forgiveness.
Stacy Cowley is a consumer finance reporter for the New York Times. Thanks for all the great information.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.